All right, good morning, family. How's everybody today? I see smiles, thumbs up, waves. Hey, cheers, mugs being raised. Awesome. That's coffee, I assume. Good morning. If it's not, God bless you anyways. Hey, how many of you guys are getting into like Christmas mode yet? Some, not, yeah, yeah, I see a lot of, okay. I bought a thing of Christmas lights yesterday. I had this email came and it was this deal, and my son Otis, like, he loves to celebrate. I'm not really good at it. I'm too like practical, too cheap to like celebrate well. But Otis just has this natural heart to celebrate. And so this deal came across for like this LED Christmas light globe thing that normally is 20 bucks and it was four. And I was like, I'm not passing that up. So I didn't only get one, I got two, because I got two boys. I didn't want them to fight. It was $8, still less than half of what one would have cost me. And so I did it, y'all, I splurged. But it made me think about just, I don't have many memories as a kid of like Christmas lights, celebration, all that stuff. And I know it's way too early to be talking about Christmas. On the way home, I told Otis, I said, these aren't going up until after Thanksgiving. So you still got a few more weeks at least before we do this. But all that to say, one of my key memories as a kid though, and some of you maybe have heard me tell this story before, was that we went downtown one year in my hometown of Milford, Connecticut, to what's called the Green. And the Green would be similar to maybe like the park blocks in downtown Portland, where it's just kind of blocks, two or three city blocks of like trees and things. And every year our town would light up the Green, the Milford Green. And so one year we went down there and my whole family, so I think I was maybe 8 or 9 years old. My parents were still married and our whole family was there. And one of the things that they did, and I didn't know this, it was kind of a big surprise, was that the Milford Fire Department is downtown at one end of the Green, and they lit up the fire truck, and Santa was on there and the firemen. And this, as this thing goes by, I took off and just started chasing it. I was so excited. I just ran away from my family. And so here we were in the Green downtown, hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people. I take off chasing this fire truck. And all of a sudden, once it's out of sight, I turn around and I'm not with my family anymore. And I'm 8 or 9 years old. Yeah. Second or third grade. And I'm all alone, just surrounded by a ton of people I don't know. And so I walk around for a bit and I was scared. And I came to one of the cross sections and there was two police cars sitting there. And so I remember I walked up and I knocked on the window or the door for the police car. And they said, what's going on, son? Are you okay? And I said, I'm lost. I lost my family. I chased after Santa and I'm all alone. And so the policeman opened his door to me. He opened the door and he said, climb in. And I sat up in the front seat next to him, and he had hot chocolate in there and he had some donuts in there. And so he gave me one of both of those and we sat there. And, you know, I was sitting there for a little bit and I said, can we go find my family now? And he goes, well, son, like the chances of finding your family are probably not too good if we just walk around together like this. He said, but I want you to stay here with me and we'll wait and see if they come. He goes, I'm sure your parents love you and I'm sure they'll come. And I remember sitting there for a little while, and then he rolled down the window and it was bitter cold. New England in, you know, the day after, you know, Saturday after Thanksgiving. And all of a sudden, out of the, just kind of the, through the cold and through the dark, I hear Nick, Nick, Nick. And I said, sir, that's my family. And he goes, well, I thought you said your name was Dominic. And I said, it is, but my family calls me Nick. And again, some of you heard me tell that story, that my nickname to my family is Nick. My name is spelled D-O-M-I-N-I-C. And they call me NIC, Nick. I'll get birthday cards that say Nick. My family will text me to this day, hey, Nick, how are you? They'll call me on the phone, Nick. It's very rarely is it Dominic. It's sometimes Dom, but most often it's Nick. It's the personal name. It's the private name. It's the name that only my family knows. And I could be out in amidst 1,000 people, and if I hear the name Nick, I won't even turn to respond to it unless I hear from it for maybe 7 voices. Do you know what I'm saying? It's the personal private name of my family. It's an intimate name that I'm known by. That even honestly, if you guys called me Nick, I wouldn't even turn. I wouldn't even flinch, because that's not my name. That's not how I'm known by you all. But there we are sitting in the dark, and I'm in the safety and the warmth of this police car after the door had been opened to me. And I hear Nick, Nick. And so I told him, I said, that's my family. And it was my older brother, my older sister. And they had come to find me. And my mom and dad had sent them and they stayed and they didn't want to split up. And so I was rescued through being welcomed into the door and the safety, the warmth, the protection, being welcomed out of the dark by this officer. But I was also saved by this intimate personal knowledge and a personal name that I was able to hear amidst the darkness, amidst the thousands of people, amidst the surrounding of everything going on. And it saved me that night from being totally scared, from being totally lost, from being separated from my family. You know, if you've been following along with us the last number of weeks, we are in a series called I Am. We're looking at the seven I Am statements of Jesus that he makes in the Gospel of John. And today we're going to be looking at the statement, I am the door, or I am the door of the sheep. You know, last week we were in John 10 as well. And if you're familiar with John 10, or if you're here 2 weeks ago, John 10, 1 to 18, Jesus makes two of the I Am statements together. He says, I am the door. And he says, I am the good shepherd, the one who knows the sheep, the one who lays down his life for the sheep. And 2 weeks ago, Vicky did a great job of looking at that statement and teaching us about those words of Christ, him saying, I am the good shepherd, the one who gives his life for the sheep, the one who knows and protects, the one who gathers the sheep and cares for them. Today, we're going to look at the metaphor of the door. And this metaphor, it doesn't have the rich Old Testament background like the shepherd imagery does. But nonetheless, it's still a fulfillment of prophecy, and it's still a fulfillment and a statement that Jesus makes to declare who he is and how he has come to fulfill God's plan to minister to us and to rescue us along with the world. If you have a Bible, I want to invite you to open up your own and read with me. If not, it'll come up on your computer screen there. But I want to read together John 10, verses 1 through 11. And it says this. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said again to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. One of the interesting things about the two statements that Jesus makes in John 10 is that he makes the statement in verse 9 that I am the door. And then he makes the statement in verse 11 that I am the good shepherd. And sandwiched right in between those two statements, these two different I am statements that are found within one chapter, is John 10:10. And I want to read those three verses to you again so we can see the connection. Jesus says in verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and go out and find pasture. Then he says in verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Then verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. See, the connection between Jesus declaring that he's the door and the connection between Jesus declaring that he's the good shepherd is this really key and central statement about life. The fact that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and we'll talk about the thief here in a bit, but that Jesus came that we may have life and have it abundantly. See, Jesus declaring that his purpose in coming and his purpose in declaring who he is was that people might see and know and understand that he is there to bring life, that he's the source of life. Life, along with light, are our central themes of the Gospel of John. And the life that Jesus is talking about here is a life that's it's a totally different quality and experience of life that comes only through personal relationship with God, through believing in and knowing who Jesus is, and then following him as the Son of God. It's a life that we see throughout the Gospel of John that is spoken of or characterized by rebirth or new birth, a birth of the spirit, of the soul of a person again, in which they're saved and they're set free from the appeal of sin, meaning you're free to make a choice other than to walk in sin. And you're also freed from the consequence of sin, meaning you're restored to peace with God, and that allows you to then live enjoying the peace of God. It's a life that John talks about that, again, it's a new quality of life. It's a life that starts now here in this present age and that does lead to eternal life and existence with God forever. That's what Jesus says in John 17, 3, where he says, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Remembering that this knowing of God, Jesus says right there in that verse, yes, this is about eternal life. This is about the life to come. But the ability to know God is now. It's in this present life here on earth through knowing Christ. And so Jesus is saying, in the midst of telling us that he's both the door and he's the good shepherd, is saying, I'm telling you this because I want you to have life. I want you to have a different quality of life than you currently know and you currently have. I want you to experience rebirth. I want you to experience reunion in life with God. I don't want you to be separated from him any longer. And so I've come and made the way that you can be reunited with God in the midst of all that's going on, that you would know him. And the way that you know him and enjoy this new quality of life with God is through knowing me as your door and knowing me as your good shepherd. And so as we look at these statements today, and as we look at all these I am statements, what's at stake here? What's in focus here? What's central here is remembering that Jesus is declaring life. Jesus is declaring that he is both the doorway and the good shepherd that leads us to life. As we talk about this today too, what's important for us to remember is that Jesus is talking to the Pharisees in this account here in John chapter 10. John chapter 10 is a continuation of the conversation that took place in John chapter 9 after Jesus healed a blind man on the Sabbath right outside of the temple. Because of his powerful act of love on the Sabbath day, the Pharisees condemned Jesus once again, and they wanted to do away with him. And because of this man's faith in Jesus, they cast him out of their presence, meaning they put him out of the synagogue, which really is a way of saying they put him out of the community of the Jews. They kicked him out of the protection and the provision of the Jews, meaning this man was now to be left on his own. If we read back into John chapter 9, you'd see that his parents didn't even want to give testimony of who had healed their son because they were afraid that if they gave testimony and said that it was Jesus and said that they believed Jesus had the ability as the Son of God to do that, it says that they were afraid that they would have lost their rights, their privileges of being in community. So they looked at the Pharisees and said, well, just ask our son. He's of age. He can testify for himself. And we see through chapter 9 this gradual progression, actually, of this man coming not only to physical sight, but coming to spiritual sight, spiritual rebirth and understanding who Jesus was and the life that he offered him. And what we see here then is that Jesus comes to declare to us as both the door and the good shepherd that he's here to redefine what life is and what life looks like. And in verse 1-5, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, and to him the gate is opened." What's being pictured here and what might actually have been right in front of the people outside the temple in this area where sheep were stored and kept to be used as sacrifices inside the temple is a sheepfold or a sheep pen. A sheepfold in the day often was attached to the side of a building. So you'd have the building and then you'd have the sheep pen. And so it's three-sided wall made out of stone or made out of wood fence. And there would be one gate. And that's the one gate that the sheep could enter in and out of. And what would happen is that the shepherds would bring their sheep at night and they would entrust them to the care of one gatekeeper who sat outside of that one door of the sheepfold. The shepherds would do that. And what they would do then is they'd entrust it to the care of that under shepherd or that one person who would stay up through the night, and he would guard and he would make sure that nobody came and would climb in, that nobody would come and steal the sheep, that there'd be no harm done to the sheep. It wasn't safe for the sheep and the shepherds to stay out in the pastures out in the fields at night. And so they would do this. They would bring them in. But the sheep shepherds would need to go home and sleep. And so they would do that. And so they would trust them to the care of this one person who was the gatekeeper, or often called the porter. But then what would happen is the shepherds would come back in the morning. They would knock on the door. The gatekeeper would open the door to them and they would come in. They'd return. Their sheep would be safe. They would speak the name of their sheep, or they would speak their word by which they called their sheep, and their sheep would come out to them. See, this was a place where multiple shepherds would keep their sheep. And so how do you know whose sheep are whose? Well, the shepherds know whose are whose, but also the sheep know their personal shepherd. So if I came and I called my sheep, Joel's sheep wouldn't come. It would just be my sheep because my sheep knew my voice. And then later when Joel came, Joel would call his sheep and just his sheep would come. And all the rest of you guys, your sheep would still be left in there because your sheep knew that was your shepherd. They had been safe and warm and protected at night. And now they were going to follow their shepherd to go on their adventure for the day out to the pasture. And so I want to look real quick just at here's kind of the characters in the allegory of John 1 through 6. You have the sheepfold, which Jesus is saying represents the community of believers, the community of sheep. You have the door, which Jesus is saying, I am that door. You have a thief and a robber that Jesus speaks of. And Jesus here is saying that the thief and the robber are false teachers, those that have come to try to deceive sheep, to come and try to steal sheep, that are come to try to bring dissension and disunity and lies within the body, within this sheepfold. And then Jesus is saying here, there is a shepherd. And the shepherd is a God-appointed leader or a pastor, someone who had the right to enter that sheepfold and to call sheep to come and to follow. And then you have the gatekeeper, which I believe here, the gatekeeper so far here is spoken of, it's the Holy Spirit, or it's the will of the Father being fulfilled through the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus in this figure of speech, in this allegory, we're told in verse 6, what he was actually doing was he was telling the Pharisees that they are the false teachers, that they are the ones that have been trying to rob and steal, to actually to bring harm and to hurt to the sheep, and that Jesus wasn't down for it. But what we see in verse 6 is that they didn't understand that. It says they didn't understand what was going on. See, what the shepherds were doing, and chapter 9 had just showed us this, that the Pharisees, they had been the self-proclaimed shepherds of the people, of the Jews. They professed to be the interpreters of God's truth. They professed to be the ones who were responsible for feeding and caring for the flock. They decreed who should be admitted and who shouldn't be admitted into the sheepfold, into the community of believers. And the Pharisees, though, with all of their rigid interpretation of laws, with their self-focused, they're the wicked shepherds that God was speaking of in the Old Testament. And at the same time, that he is the good shepherd that the Old Testament spoke of. And so Jesus goes on to speak of this in a new way in verses seven through 10. And I want to look at that with you. Verse 7, Jesus, it says again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Now, clearly, Jesus is not talking about the Old Testament prophets being robbers or thieves. Clearly, he's not talking about John the Baptist being a robber or a thief. Again, he uses this present tense language. He's talking about these Pharisees, they being the false teachers, they being the ones who are perpetrating harm against the sheep. And Jesus is saying, I've come to redefine. I am the door now. No longer you. I am the door. I'm the gatekeeper to the community of believers, to the body of Christ. And I'm redefining who gets to enter in and how they do so. It's no longer the self-righteous nor the pious that are welcomed into this community. But no, like the blind man, it's those who are lowly. It's those who are humble. It's those who are willing to admit their need and admit their longing for true life. Jesus is saying, I've come to change the game here in terms of who you think is in and who you think is out. And I'm sorry to tell you, Pharisees, self-righteous, pious, you're out. Your pride prevents you from actually entering into the fellowship of the believers. Your pride and your self-centeredness, it keeps you from actually engaging in and experiencing the life that you think you have and that you think you're trying to lead others to. But it's those who are humble. It's those who are lowly. It's those who are willing to admit their need and their longing will find true life through me. Because he goes on in verse 9 and 10, and he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he or she will be saved and will go in and go out and find safe pasture. Go in and go out is a common phrase used throughout scripture. We see it in the Old Testament and Deuteronomy and in a lot of the other books. We also see it in Acts chapter 1. And it was a common phrase to mean that someone had the right of free range of use of a shelter, meaning they were welcomed there, they were allowed to be there, and because they were welcomed there, they could come in and go out as freely as they wanted. It was perfect freedom to enter. Whenever there was a storm or whenever there was a danger, freely come. Whenever you had a need, freely come. Whenever you just wanted to come and hang out, just freely come. It's a way of saying there's an open door policy here. And Jesus is saying, I am the door. And those who humbly come to me and admit and acknowledge their need and their longing, I open the door to life to them. I open the door to community to them. And you have the ability now to be saved from destruction, saved from loneliness, saved from isolation, saved from death into this believer community, into this body of Christ. And you have the ability to come and go freely. What he's not saying is that you go in and out of your state of salvation. No, he's not saying that at all. He's saying, but you have the freedom to move in this life now as a child of God, safe and secure in your identity as a child of God, as a covenant child, as a member of the body. And you have the ability to freely move and to roam because you share safely in the inheritance of Christ and his kingdom when you know that Christ is the doorway into life. And you're not at stake of losing it. It's the exact contrary of the way that the Pharisees held their door. You're not at stake of losing it. You're not at stake of getting kicked out. There's no way that can happen to you because Christ is your entry point. He's the one that guaranteed you and was your passage in. So he's the one that holds and secures you within that community. Jesus says, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, they'll be saved. Go in and go out and find good pasture. See, but there is a thief that comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. See, Jesus also switches the narrative a bit here and says, not only are the Pharisees and the false teachers of the day, not only are they the liars, the robbers and the thieves, but there is one, there is a spiritual battle going on. There is one in the world who's at work, who has come to steal and kill and destroy and wants to lie to people, wants to lie to those within the community, within the family, within the body, wants to lie to the sheep, to try to deceive them, to try to defraud them, to try to make them think that they're not secure, that they're not safe within the cover of Christ and within the coverage of the community of the body of Christ. There's those who he's trying to deter and lie to them and get them to believe that coming out would be better. That being on your own would be better, that doing it your own way would be better, that doing it some other way would actually be the way to real life, as opposed to the way that Christ has spoken of and established and set an invitation to. And so church, what does this all mean for us today? I wanted to make sure you kind of understood the allegory and understood the two different pieces of it and the different players in the situation. But what does this mean for us today, Missio? So I believe honestly that the ministry of Jesus as the door and as the good shepherd, looking at them in conjunction, really Jesus is saying here that he came to meet all of our deepest longings. See, I believe that as humans, you and I, we have a deep need for safety and protection and provision. It's one of our deepest longings. And Jesus is saying, as the door, as the way in which the sheep enter in at night, into that sheep pen, into that sheepfold, as your door, Jesus is saying, I have provided for you peace and safety and protection from the danger and the terror of the night. And then he's saying, as the good shepherd, I come in the morning and I call you out of the pen and you hear my voice and you follow me and I lead you now and I provide protection for you not only at night, but during the day too, when I welcome you out and you come and you follow me, I give you guidance, I give you protection, I give you provision, I take you to good pasture during the day. Jesus is saying one of your deepest longings as a frail human on this earth is safety, protection, and provision. And I'm providing that for you both day and night. I'm providing that for you 24/7, at night in the safety of the pen, by day as the safety as I walk with you through every single situation and circumstance that you will face. I think secondly, we have a deep need for belonging and for a longing to be known personally. We long to be known and recognized by name. Jesus as the door opens the way for us to belong and be known in community of believers. There's no other way to enter fully, truly into the community, the family of belonging, other than through Jesus Christ himself. We see in the Gospel of John often that Jesus uses the personal name of a number of people more so than he does in any other gospel. He speaks the personal name of Mary, the personal name of Martha, the personal name of Lazarus, calling him out of death into life, the personal name of Peter as he reinstates him at the end. I believe you and I yearn to hear the redemptive voice of Jesus calling us personally by name, both in the good times and in the hard times of this life. And Jesus says, as the door, I make sure that only one person comes and calls your name that you hear and know it. And as the good shepherd, I am the one who enters in through that door as well. And I do speak your name. I am calling your name personally. In the midst of everything that's going on, in the midst of your life, I speak to you personally. And his question to us, I think, would be, are you listening? He is speaking each of our names personally. And he's asking us, are we listening? Are we ready and available to respond when we hear the tender words of Christ calling your name personally right now today in the midst of everything that you're considering and thinking about? So I think connected to that, each of us has a longing, a deep longing for discernment. We have a longing for insight, for discretion, for good judgment that enables us to respond with wisdom and integrity in the face of emotional and relational turmoil and in the midst of complicated situations of life like we find ourselves in right now. We know that our decisions impact our lives, and we know that our decisions impact the lives of others around us. And we long to know the voice of Jesus and to have assurance in the midst of all these critical and perplexing things of life. We long to have something in someone that's guiding us and making it clear, yes, this is the right way to go. And again, I believe Jesus as the door gives us that discernment. When Jesus becomes my door to life, when I truly believe that Jesus is the only entryway to life, I can begin to now to discern everything through him, his words, his ways, his works. I can look at those, hold those up against everything else. And if Jesus is that door, that pathway to life, I know I can go to him and everything else now is weighed up against Christ. I choose whether or not I walk through a door as to whether or not Christ is the one instructing me through that door. I choose whether or not I go a certain way or do a certain thing, make a certain decision, even in the complexities of all of life, when I know that's the way that Jesus would lead me. He would open that door to me and he would go before me as my shepherd through that door as well. I think connected to that, each of us, we long for purpose and we long for meaning. See, though we may not think much of sheep and of their lives, here's the thing. Jesus actually makes quite a bit of sheep. He makes much of the life of sheep. And not only that, not only is Jesus the good shepherd, Jesus in scripture also says, I am the sheep. I'm not only the good shepherd who lays down my life for the sheep, but I am the sheep, the one sheep, the perfect sheep who goes and spills my own blood, lays down my life for you. And in doing that, Jesus lives as a sheep, listening only to the voice of the Father, finding his peace, finding his protection, finding his provision only in the life of the Father. Jesus takes on the posture of a sheep, allowing the Father and the Holy Spirit to be his shepherd, his guide, his protection, going and laying down his life. And in doing that, what does Jesus do? Jesus does the greatest act in all of history. Who is it done by? It's done by a sheep. The life of a sheep is quite meaningful. It's quite purposeful, the way that Christ redefines it. And so as Christ is the great sheep who lays down his life for us and looks at us and says, come and follow me as your shepherd. Be as a sheep, be as I was, and follow me. Christ bestows great purpose and great meaning on your life and as mine when we understand him to be the door. Again, the one who defines life, a life of meaning and a life of purpose. And we look to him to be our good shepherd and we take on that posture of a sheep. One of the things that you notice about the shepherd, the Jesus being the door and the sheep pen and the sheepfold, is that the sheep aren't called nor created just to stay living life constantly in that sheep pen and in that sheepfold, are they? That's their place of coming together at night for protection. That's their place of safety. That's their place of belonging and of community within the sheepfold, within the flock. But it says the shepherd comes, he calls them by name, they know his name, and he leads them out, it says in verse 4. He goes before them and he leads them out. He leads them into an adventure of a new day. He leads them and guides them out into the world to share their baths, to share their wool, to share their life, to share all that they have so that their life is meaningful and purposeful. You and I long for a life of meaning and purpose. And I believe Jesus saying, I am the door and I am the good shepherd in conjunction together is Jesus declaring, I give your life great meaning and great purpose when you understand me as being the doorway to life. And walking through that doorway with me and letting me lead you and guide you. Your life takes on the purpose of my life which I laid down for you so that you could experience and have real life. And speaking of the laying down of life, I think that in the midst of suffering, and in the midst of disappointment, you and I, we long to know grace. We long to know comfort. We long to know hope in the midst of our pain. And as the door and as the good shepherd, we know that we have a defender and a sustainer. We know that if we face trials, we do so not arbitrarily. If we do so not without someone who cares for us, not without someone who stands to guard and protect us. We do so not without someone being in it with us. But Jesus, as our door, will not let anything come and befall us which we can't handle. Jesus, as the door and the protector of the sheep, the way of the sheep, will not let anything come upon you that is not intended actually for your good. Jesus will not let anything come which does not have meaning, which does not have purpose, which does not have with it the benefit of refinement of our character and of our faith, in order that we would gain even through the trials of life. Jesus, as the door, says, I protect and guard from anything that is undue for you. And as the good shepherd, I protect you and lead you and guide you into places where you have pasture, where you can come in and go out freely. So even if you experience trial, hardship, stubbing of your toe out in the pasture, I'm with you. I'm for you. There's learning in this. There's grace in this. And I think lastly, church, I think you and I long to know the voice of Jesus in the midst of all the other noise and all the other competing voices in the world, and honestly, that are in our own heads. There's so many competing voices where we are in this life. I've come to realize that I probably actually only have sanity because of the ability to know and follow Jesus as both the doorway to life and as the voice in this life which I should follow. I'm in the EHS course right now, and one of the key things we actually just looked at was, what are the voices, the messages of your family of origin? I grew up in a very critical surrounding, a lot of critical voices. I personally have a very critical voice towards myself. There's a lot of lies, things that play in my own head. I think a lot about, if I don't please others, if I don't meet their demands, if I don't meet their expectations, then what value, what worth do I have? I think far too often about, I'm not worthy of love if I don't perform well. I'm not worthy of acceptance. I'm not worthy of belonging to a community or to a people unless I lead well, unless I do well, unless I do these things in a way, again, that meets people's expectations and they applaud it. But I've had to learn over the years how to discern these voices. Is that the voice of my family in my past? Is that the voice of myself or of the enemy lying to me? Or is that the voice of Jesus? And to allow Jesus to be the voice that drowns all other voices out. It's an ongoing battle. I'd be lying to you if I told you it wasn't. But when Jesus is my door, he helps me to filter what does and what should or should not come through into my heart, into my mind, and what should I meditate and think upon. When Jesus is my good shepherd and I know his voice, he protects me from the onslaught of these other voices. And he speaks my name personally, and it grounds me. It grounds me in grace. It grounds me in truth. It grounds me in life that is real life. Church, I believe each and every single one of you longs to hear and to know the personal voice of Jesus in the midst of all the other noise that's going on in the world. See, and here's the thing. In all of Scripture, the assumption is that the living God is a God that speaks and communicates. And the assumption then of Christ here, when he talks about being the good shepherd and being the door, he continues on later in chapter 10, and he says this. He says this in verses 25 down to 30. He says, Jesus answered them. He said, I told you, and you don't believe. But the works that I do, my Father's name bears witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not part of the flock yet. Jesus said in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they know me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. See, Jesus speaks here again in verse 27, not necessarily identifying himself as the door nor the shepherd, but I believe as both, saying that my sheep, they hear my voice and they know and they follow me. See, Jesus takes it for granted that we as sheep hear his voice and know his voice and will follow him. He operates under this assumption that sheep hear his voice. I want to show and play you guys this little video that really asks this question and looking at real sheep to say, do sheep actually truly recognize the voice of their shepherd? I want you to watch this and take note of this with me and think about how this plays out in your own life.
One more time.
Oh, one is
Jesus says, my sheep, they hear my voice and they know me and they follow me. Jesus says, I'm the door. I'm the doorway into that community of safety, of protection, of belonging, of clarity, of knowing who you are, of knowing who you belong to, of knowing what your purpose is, of knowing that you have a protector by night and you have a guide and a provider by day. Jesus says, I'm the door. I'm the way into that. And not only am I the door, but I'm also the shepherd that comes in. Notice there was only one door too, also into that pen. And when the shepherd came in, the sheep gladly, willingly followed. They knew the care. They knew the tenderness. They knew the love. They knew the goodness. They knew that true life for them was found, would be found that day in just following that one shepherd. The three others that stood at the fence saying the same words, different tone, different intonation. They knew. They knew it was a fake. They knew it was a cheat. They were able to use discernment because they knew where the door was. They were able to use discernment and follow to life because they knew the voice of the shepherd. There's one other piece of this I want to share with you. That picture there was in Norway. So the sheep and the field was green grass. One of the things that is spoken of here is that, again, the sheep have the ability to go in and to go out and to find pasture. I don't know what you think of when you think of the word pasture, or when you read Psalm 23 and it says, he leads and guides me into green pasture. But I want to show you a picture, actually three pictures of what green pasture actually looks like in the Middle East. These are real pictures taken, not by myself, but by a friend. And this is actually what a green pasture looks like. Let me show you. That's a green pasture. The coloring on your screen is not messed up. That's green pasture. See, in ancient Near East and even currently in Jerusalem and in the area, there's very little land that is actually bright and green and flourishing. There's very little land that's good for farming. And so that land, guess what? It's used for farming because it has good watering and all the good things. But so you don't want the sheep nearby. You don't want the shepherds nearby grazing and eating the land that's actually good for farming. And so sheep and shepherds were actually relegated to what's called midbar. Midbar is the word in Hebrew that means actually wilderness, or it means pasture. It means both things. This here is a picture of midbar. This is a picture of pasture. This is a sheep pasture. Those are real sheep just a few years ago. Go to the next picture for me. There's a shepherd, the farthest right character or person you see. That's a shepherd girl, walking and leading and guiding her sheep in a green pasture. She went and she got them from out of their pen the night, and now she's leading them during the day. Go to the next picture for me. This, though, is a close-up of the ground there. See, from a distance, it is more rocks. It is more dry. It is more arid. It is it's not very green. It's not waist high, waist deep, knee deep alfalfa like you would think, like that Norway picture, or like you'd see of a sheep field here in Oregon. In ancient Near East and in Jesus' context, this is green pasture. And what's the importance of that? Why do I point this out to you? See, to go and to live with Christ, believing that he's the door, that he's the one way to this freedom, to this community, to this protection, to this belonging, to believe that, that he's the good shepherd that will lead you and guide you into a green pasture or safe pasture. We often think that it means it's this life that we were talking about, this abundant life. We often think that it's this life that's just going to be easy, or it's this life that, like, I can turn wherever I want and have my fill and have my satisfaction of whatever I want. And we try to define abundant life according to the ways of this world, from a consumer mindset, from a convenience mindset. But the pasture actually that Jesus speaks of, is actually that all of Scripture speaks of, it's this. And if you and I are honest, this is actually more real life, isn't it? It's a little browner than we want to admit. It's a little more rugged and hard. It's a little more treacherous than we thought or would hoped. But all the more rich then to think of Jesus as the door to life. All the more rich then to think of Jesus as the good shepherd. See, they say that the way that this green grass grows actually is that, again, that they don't get a ton of rain. They get just a little bit of moisture in the morning and at night. The warm wind comes off the Mediterranean Sea onto these plains, onto this wilderness. And there's just enough moisture that gets onto the rocks and it drops down. And that's why the grass is just growing right at the base of these rocks. And Jesus leads us and guides us. And the sheep had to believe, and they really had to trust the shepherd, that when he was taking them out to this brown, nasty, dry-looking field, that there actually was going to be life there, that there actually was going to be something to nourish them there, that there was actually going to be something to provide for them there and to care for them there, to meet their needs there. See, I think what sheep learned in the wilderness, and I believe what Jesus was saying too to the people using this metaphor of sheep and door and sheep and shepherd, was that in the wilderness, you learn that the shepherd provides you and opens the door for you to experience and to receive just what you need for that day, just enough for that day. Not for a lifetime, not so it's easy, but true life for that day. And you had to remember to then go and trust him the next day, because at night you would go into the sheep pen, you'd be safe and you'd be protected there. And he would lead you out again to the next day into this dry, brown, rugged, green pasture. And you'd have to make a choice again that day as a sheep to look up and go, ooh, it doesn't look like there's grass there. But if Jesus, if my good shepherd, if you're leading me to that place, though it doesn't look like culture should define how it looks, though it doesn't look how my longings expect that to look, if you're saying that's the place of my protection and of your provision and of my shelter and of my welfare, if that's the place of true life and that's the door you're opening for me and that you're leading me into, I will go for you. I will go with you. And I'll find purpose there. I'll find provision there. I'll find belonging there. I'll find the satisfaction and the meaning of all of my longing and needs there in you, Jesus, because you're my door and you're my shepherd. There was one rabbi back in the day who was noted as saying, worry is dealing with tomorrow's problems on today's pasture. Meaning you think you're going to be able to go into, you think that life abundant means, yeah, I go into the pasture and I can deal with everything all at once because I've got all that I need right now for all time. No. The green pasture, the pasture of the ancient Near East and that Jesus speaks of. It's this pasture where you learn to trust, to walk through the door day by day and to follow the shepherd day by day for your daily needs. The final thing I would say about that, church, as an encouragement to us, is that honestly, if we want to experience and know life with Jesus as the good shepherd, we must accept him as the door and the gateway to abundant life first. There's a lot of ways that we could talk about the kingdom and its culture and the beauty of it out in the world. And so many people would say, yes, I want that. I want that. I want righteousness. I want justice. I want peace. I want love. I want joy. I want all of those things. But when they find out that Jesus is the king of that kingdom, a lot of them say, oh, no, never mind. I thought you were talking about something different. So I think Jesus is talking in similar language here. The reason why he presents himself as the door first, prior to the good shepherd, is that if you want to experience life under the care of the good shepherd, the comfort of knowing him as your good shepherd, you need to learn to know him and accept him as the door first. The one true way in which you walk, the one true way in which you discern everything else, the one true thing, the one true way in which you hold up everything else and you say again, is this the doorway? Is this the way which Christ would be leading me to walk through and go through? If not, I want nothing to do with it because it's not the door that Christ is presenting in front of me. If it is, even if it looks browner than I thought it would, I'm going to go with you, Jesus, because you're the doorway. See, in order for us to learn how to actually discern and hear the voice of Jesus, is for us actually to come to this place of making a decision and understanding, do I really, really believe that Jesus is the door? Do I really, really believe that he is the one that is the entryway to life? If not, I will waver and waffle, and I will not be able to discern what his true voice is. I will think my voice is his voice. I will think the voice of culture is his voice until I come to the place of landing with some certainty to say, nope, I believe Jesus is the door to life. And I will weigh everything against him and against his word. Jesus is the doorway to protection, to comfort, to safety, to belonging, to all the longings that I have. Jesus is the doorway to have those fulfilled. And when I believe that, that is when the benefit again of the good shepherd comes into play in a very natural, very normal, very easy, very personal basis. When I come to the place of surrendering myself to Jesus, submitting myself to him, coming with a posture of humility and attentiveness to say, Jesus, you're the doorway to life. You're the doorway, and I'm going to follow you. Then we get to know him too as our good shepherd. And here's the thing, church. Jesus came and he's committed. The reason why I believe that statement again of John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I've come that they may have life and have it abundantly. The reason why it's sandwiched in between him declaring he's the door and declaring that he's the good shepherd, the reason why that's the transition verse is because Jesus is fully sold out and Jesus is fully committed to us experiencing life. He desires and wants nothing else, nothing other than you and I experiencing true and abundant life. Jesus came to guard you in his providence. He came to guide you by his spirit and by his word. And he goes before you to lead you in the steps and into the ways that he desires for you to go so that you can experience life in good pasture, life in green pasture. You know, today is the last Sunday of the month, believe it or not. And so, yeah, we're going to take communion together. And again, I find just how appropriate that we would sit and consider the elements, the bread, the juice, or whatever it is that you have in your home there, which represent really our doorway to life. That we would remember today that Jesus is the door, the gate, into the sheepfold, the sheep pen, the protection from night and from terror of the things that cause us fear and harm and darkness. And he's the good shepherd who personally and lovingly knows us, calls us by name, leads and guides us into protection and into safe places. He's provided both of these for us, and he's proved it by laying down his life as the good shepherd and through his resurrection. The resurrection being the door that truly opens up the way for us to be new creations, to experience resurrection life ourselves, to experience transformation in the love of God. And so this morning, I want to invite you, Missio, to consider and then think about, do you believe Christ to be the doorway to the answer of all the longings that you have? And do you believe that he is the good shepherd? And so as you take those elements today, would you just have a dialogue even with the Lord about the longings that you have, the doors that have been opened or that have not, that you wished were, and look at the body of Christ and the blood of Christ that was broken for you and that was shed for you, and to remember the words of God in scripture that says, and if God did not spare his only son, would he not much more give you all things? That if the elements in front of you prove that Jesus is the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life so that you can have life, does it also not prove that he's the door to life? That all other things that God actually truly desires and wants for you will be open to you in good time as you continue to lovingly, humbly tune into God's voice and believe that Christ is the doorway to true life. I want to pray for us and then we'll worship together and then you'll take your communion. So God, this morning, thank you for your word. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your care and your goodness. I thank you, Lord, for the body of believers, the sheep pen that you've opened for us, and that you've called us into. I thank you, Lord, that indeed you have saved us out of darkness and into great light, that you've saved us out of isolation and into a family, that you've saved us out of monotony and into meaning, into purpose. You've saved us out of confusion and into clarity and into discernment, that you've saved us out of a life where thieves and robbers come to steal and destroy. And you've saved us into life abundant, life with you, life in personal relationship with you, the living God, the creator of all things. Lord, I thank you that you are committed, fully committed and sold out to us experiencing life, even to the point of yourself experiencing death. And so, Lord, give us encouragement today. Give us faith today. Strengthen us in our resolve to listen to you, to follow you, to believe that you truly are the doorway to life, that you truly are the one who fulfills all of the longings that we have, that we wouldn't go knocking on other doors trying to find life, wouldn't go knocking on other places trying to find fulfillment, but believing that, Jesus, you're the doorway to life. And when we walk with you, you become too our good shepherd, and you lead and you guide and you go before us. Jesus, thank you for going before us to the cross. Thank you for taking our guilt, our shame. Thank you for taking the penalty that we deserved in order that we could experience freedom, forgiveness, peace with God, and the peace of God, that we could go in and go out and find good pasture in this world, even in the midst of all of the craziness, because we could hear and know your voice and have life with you. So God, would you minister to us as we take of the bread and take of the juice and as we worship you here together. Lord, we love you and I praise you for your protection over this sheep pen, over this body, this one called Missio. May we always hear your voice and follow you, Jesus. I pray this in your name. Amen.